Good morning. You listen to FloridaDaily.net, and I'm Kemp Haar. This morning, my guest is Barbara Haxma with Milliken, who's VP of Marketing and Design. How you doing, Barbara?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm good. Happy New Year to you. I know it's kind of a bittersweet New Year right now because your company has lost a real icon and the, you know, basically the leader and owner of Milliken and Company, Roger Milliken, and I appreciate you spending time with me today. I think the funeral is today, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a memorial service today for the public, and then there's a private service for all of us here at our headquarters tomorrow, which will be streamed to all of our locations. Yes, it's very bittersweet, and we are definitely profoundly saddened, but this will be hopefully a celebration of Mr. Milliken's life.
He lived to be 95 years old. He wasn't sick for very long, fortunately. Before we get into Roger, though, let's just real quick, since I've never interviewed you before, Barbara, tell us a little bit about your tenure and your role at Milliken.
Okay, well, I've been with Milliken for 20 years, and as you said, I'm currently Vice President of Design and Marketing for the Floor Covering Division. Prior to this role, I held various design and marketing positions in our automotive division as well as our contract fabrics business. Prior to coming to work for Milliken, I was an interior designer where I first came in contact with Milliken and was a specifier for many years. So Milliken's been a big part of my professional career for many years.
Oh, actually, I didn't realize that piece of your background. That well qualifies you for what you did. Since you've been there 20 years, I'm thinking you've probably had a lot of interaction with Mr. Roger Milliken. And I know, just, you know, real quickly, for those people that haven't read the bios and everything, and I should mention, if you go to Milliken.com, right on the homepage, you guys have a tribute to his life right there that people can look at.
Yes, it's a wonderful tribute. It's updated pretty much daily. It has been since last Thursday, and it's loaded with information about his life and photos and videos, and there's a place for people to send messages to the family as well.
A couple of things that I thought was very interesting. He actually ran the company for over 60 years, took over after his father died. He's the third generation owner of the company. And he grew up in New York City, attended Yale University, graduated in 1937 from Yale studying French history. And very interestingly, his first job at Milliken sounds like his dad really kind of wanted him to earn his stripes, actually had him out working in the clothing end of the business, doing kind of menial tasks for a little while. I thought that was very interesting. Then as he took over the company, it was a small company when he took it over. He's the one that moved it to Spartanburg, built it up. He was an advocate for, I guess, three key areas, advocate for the American worker. And one key part of that relates to the carpet industry, when the Lone Oak facility burned to the ground in 95, he said, we're going to rebuild it in the same footprint and built it. So it's, you guys have probably one of the most modernized carpet manufacturing facility in the business. He was also a strong Republican, big supporter of the Republican Party, and a lover of tree-covered landscapes. Does that cover a lot of it?
That covers it. Yeah. Absolutely, all of those.
Okay, so you interacted with him for, I guess, over your 20-year tenure. Talk a little bit about that. What type of man was he?
Yes, I think every associate at Milliken had the opportunity to have a lot of interaction with him. He was very hands-on. He was always in the moment, and he was visible. He took just a genuine interest in who you were and what you were doing. He had this infectious spirit. I mean, he would show up pretty much unannounced, and he'd always have this twinkle in his eye and this big smile, and he just had this passion and this curiosity for, you know, what you were doing. Mm-hmm. And he always asked, are you having fun? Which was kind of amazing. I don't think a lot of people would automatically know that about him. And you would answer, you know, of course, yes, I'm having fun. And the line that he's used a lot was, well, you're not doing it right if you're not having fun. And he really lived that. And he absolutely led by example. I think everyone knew that he would never expect you to do something that he wouldn't expect of himself. So there, you know, it was a pretty high standard that you always felt that you wanted to live up to. Not that you had to, but you just wanted to.
Mm-hmm. That's great. So he led by example.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the other thing I think I'd say is that every interaction, whether it was, you know, a meeting that was planned with an agenda, or you would just happen to run into him in the hallway, you just knew that you were going to, first of all, be challenged. because he would ask you a question, and you'd have to make sure that, you know, you were prepared to answer it, and you would always learn something, whether it was just a comment or if it was in a meeting and, you know, he was talking about a particular topic. You knew you would come away from that interaction with something you didn't know before. It was amazing. One thing that he was always known for as an associate is he would write the most amazing thank you notes for even the most seemingly minute interaction. You would get, you know, a day later, you would get this thank you note from him, handwritten or, you know, typed with his signature.
You know, one of the things that Millikan is really well known for, and I think it was probably Roger Millikan that put this into place, is your whole Millikan University, the whole employee development program that you had. I mean, you guys were well known for a long time for taking people right out of college and teaching them the textile business and then teaching them how to interact with people, and that was all, I think, part of his doing, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yeah. It was interesting when I first started and went through my training. It had nothing really to do about your day-in, day-out job. At the time, it was an 8-week training program. It was fundamentals about the company and everything from Dale Carnegie to statistical process control to business etiquette. It was just a really fundamental overview and education to give you, you know, the foundation for then having a very successful career within the company. But it wasn't, you know, specifically hands-on about that job that you were hired for. That would come later. It was a pretty amazing experience. And, you know, even now when you run into someone who you went through that training program with, you know, for me 20 years, you have, it's almost this little fraternity where, oh, we went through, you know, that training together. So there's a bit of a camaraderie that gets developed as well. Yeah, that was all his vision.
Yeah, so just talking about his guiding principles, I mean, we've talked about human development. What were some of his other guiding principles, do you think?
From my perspective, what I took away, first of all, was to always do the right thing. Mm-hmm. The ethical standards that he set for us as individuals and for the company were pretty high. And I think that was his number one principle, was to always do the right thing. The other one, I think, was, when I think it relates to the education and to his commitment to, you know, trees, was his deep care for people and for the environment. That was evident in everything that he did. You know, how is this going to impact the community? How is it going to impact our associates? How is it going to impact our customers? He lived his entire life committed to, you know, sustainability and planting trees and leaving the world a better place. And then I think his other one was, again, you know, have fun. He was amazing when it came to his passion for combining what he loved and work and making it fun.
Very interesting. So what after you celebrate his life here in the next couple of days, what happens to Millikan? I know he's a privately held company, and he was the owner. Is there any changes in store for Millikan now?
Nope. He clearly spent a lot of time thinking about the future and what's going to happen to the company. It will remain private. It will remain family-owned, and that's something that was very important to him. So the leadership transition has already taken place with Joe Sally as our CEO. So other than having a big hole in our hearts, it'll definitely go on business as usual, which is what he would have expected.
All right. Well, thanks, Barbara, for spending time with us this morning. I wanted our listeners to definitely hear a little of, somebody who'd worked with him for a long time, some insight. Again, we've been talking to Barbara Haxma, who's Vice President of Marketing and Design with Millikan Flooring, and you've been listening to Kemphar and FloorDaily.net.